God, we thank you that we can laugh in the midst of all that's going on in the world and possibly all that's going on in our life. And we thank you that we still live in a country where we can gather freely and worship. And so we never want to take that for granted. We ask that your presence be with us today as we look at the sin of jealousy and how it can creep into our lives and affect us in so many, many different ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, sin number two, jealousy. So let's start with a working definition of jealousy, okay? A working definition. Who wants to offer up some points on how? And Kenya promised she is going to take the mic around and make sure it's right up on your lips so that everyone can hear, especially our family that's worshiping with us on Zoom. So should I start with what I have or start with what you want to suggest? Okay, I'm gonna jealousy or sadness at another's good fortune or possession. Sadness at another's good fortune or possession. What would you add to that or what would you take away from that? And then the second one, I don't even know how to pronounce this Latin. Anybody here speak Latin? Invidia, a Latin term for envy and jealousy or spite, often corresponding with malice, looking upon someone with resentment for their success. It personifies one of the seven deadly sins, okay? So that's what we have right now. We're trying to get a working definition of jealousy. Anything you would add to that?
Carl, if you can hear her when she starts speaking, can you give me the thumbs up?
I would just add something like burning. I think sometimes when there's a sensation of burning when you're jealous.
A burning desire? Okay, burning. We add burning to it. Can you hear us, Carl?
Can you hear Carl?
Gerald?
I would say it's not just sadness at what others have or what someone else has, but wanting to have that which others have.
Okay. Desire to have what someone else has.
Yeah, I heard someone refer to it as unhappy admiration.
Unhappy admiration. Wow. Anyone else? So the text that was read in 1 Samuel is one of those very strong examples of jealousy between David and Saul. And I give you some other examples on the sheet that you have, but let me just share that one with you. David goes out to fight a battle, comes back, and all of the people, the women in the town are saying, oh, you're so great, you're amazing. And then Saul, who's the king, gets jealous. And there's a key verse in that reading. It said he eyes David. And jealousy is called what? The green-eyed monster. And I think it was Shakespeare that labeled it as such. Say that again. Say that again.
The green-eyed monster who mocks the meat it feeds on. Doth mocks. Yeah.
Very good. We're going to come to that maybe if we get that far. But so he eyes David, and he even tries to kill David, and he is jealous because he thinks that because the people are praising David, that they no longer love him. And so he thinks that David now is in pursuit of the throne. He's just jealous, and it builds and builds and builds and builds. So that's the background to that particular text. But there are several other examples that I gave you on the sheet there. Cain and Abel. Anyone No, remember the story of Cain and Abel. You want to share just a summary of what you remember about the Cain and Abel story? Should I pick on the people who are nodding their heads? Not everybody stopped nodding their heads.
Anybody online?
Anyone online, yeah, anyone online.
Brian? Dale?
Anyway, I don't have my phone, so I can't see to the speaker.
Is it the jealousy about the birthright?
Yes, okay. The birthright okay. Jealousy. It's jealousy about Cain envied God's acceptance of Abel's offering over his own offering to God. I heard this great sermon title. I've never preached it, but I've always been tempted. It said, "The devil is raising Cain, but God is Abel." Then there's a Joseph and his brothers. Joseph and his brothers in Genesis chapter 37. Anyone remember the story? Joseph's brothers were jealous of him because they believed his father saw him as favored. It was one of the love child, you know, not love child, but the late child in the age, you know, late in their in the parents' age. This child is born. But you know, the parents are not without blame for the brothers feeling the animosity that they felt towards Joseph. The parents are not without blame. Because the very fact that the father gave Joseph a coat of many colors, there's significance to that coat. It was not just a colorful coat, it was a coat of long sleeves. And during that particular era, people who wore long sleeves indicated that they don't work. So the father was setting Joseph up to be, have you ever heard this term? The golden child? Any of y'all the golden child? You wouldn't say it, you wouldn't admit it if you were. So I have some confession here, right here. So right before we go into it. Growing up, I thought for a long time that my parents had identified my brother as the golden child. He could do no wrong. He went on to play Major League Baseball. And I had in my mind, they loved him more than me. I could care less about my other siblings, but they loved him more than me. And I was jealous of my brother. So here's my confession. Are you all going to give me absolution sometime? Okay, thank you. I was jealous of my brother. And I tried as best as I can to earn my parents' love because I thought they loved him more. So my brother out of high school went to the minor leagues. So I said, I'll go to college because he never went to college. They still loved him more. Then he went and played major leagues and played in the World Series. I said, well, I'll go to an Ivy League school. And they still love them more. It wasn't until I sat down one day and I looked my brother in the eye and said, you know, I've been jealous of you all my life. And you know what my brother said to me? He said, you don't know how much I brag about you to my friends. How much I tell my friends, I have a brother that went to Loyola, I have a brother that went to Yale, and here I am jealous of him, and he is proud of me. Jealousy will mess you up. Joseph and his brothers were jealous. They put him in a pit, sold him into slavery. He went to prison. From the prison, then all things turned around. I say from the pit to the pinnacle. But all of that was due to jealousy. Rachel and Leah in Genesis chapter 30, the sisters, they lived in a state of rivalry with each other. It wasn't just one-sided as I believed it was with me and my brother. These two sisters were fighting and competing against each other. You ever know families that do that or friends that do that? They fight and compete against each other. Everybody has to one-up the other person, okay? King David and Saul is the one that we refer to over. The religious leaders in Matthew chapter 27, verse 18, the Pharisees delivered to Jesus to be crucified were motivated by one thing, envy and jealousy. And then the prodigal brother. What's that one about? The prodigal son. And these are very common stories in the Bible. So I'm sorry, I just assume that many of us have heard of them or know of them. So I don't want to do all the talking. I can, but Aisha, okay.
Okay, into the mic.
Thank you.
All right. Of course, the prodigal son, did you say prodigal or his brother?
Prodigal son. Uh-huh.
Okay. Now he demanded his inheritance and then frivolously spent it all and ended up in a pig pen. Couldn't eat what the pigs could eat. And finally said, let me go home to my father and ask for his forgiveness. And then, of course, when they got there, the older brother's like, hold up. Y'all never cooked a pig for me. A cow, a lamb. So you never cooked the fatted lamb for me. So why are you, this guy, he took his money and gone.
Yeah.
Why are you, and that was that story.
He was jealous of the treatment that his younger brother got. He's the one that went out and went wild. He's the one that messed his life up. He's the one that didn't obey you, and I stayed home. I was the good one. Chris.
This came up very recently. You guys know the triplets, right? So obviously there's rivalry. So Leonella was in a play at school. She worked very, very hard, long. I mean, they're eight. And she stayed after school for another 3 hours. And I mean, she worked really hard. And she was on a high on Friday. It was Friday and Saturday night. Nakai was crying. I went back to the house, and Nella got ice cream and, you know, Geneve celebrated her. And Nakai was so jealous. So I just held her and I said, honey, let her shine right now. Let her have this moment. Just like we give Phoenix his moments in soccer, because he's quite the player, and she picked up the violin. Well, she's working at it. It doesn't squeak a lot, but the notes are usually wrong. But anyway, I said, and you are going to shine in the concert. So everyone has your moment. So as soon as you said that, I just thought of those three.
Yeah. Some key takeaway from jealousy. What comes to your mind when I said it destroys relationships? How does jealousy destroy relationships? That's Proverbs 14 and 30.
Hi, everybody. So, honestly, I really can rely on Joseph with his brother to my life. I'm the youngest one of three. And for some reason, especially my sister, in Texas, she always was jealous of me, but always I'm the one that I have to forgive. The point is, whatever happened in Joseph's story, because Yaakov loves Joseph more than others because of the mother of Joseph that was beloved by Yaakov. You call it Yaakov, yeah, anyway. And that is, whatever happened to this wonderful, beautiful young man, and he became the governor of the Egypt, and then he forgave his brother and he hugged him. And that is the most beautiful things that it always reminds me that how much we have to forgive people. And it's related to Jesus in different occasions, and even David when that king was just jealous, but he kept forgiving him. And so that God is teaching us that we have to forgive. It's so hard. It's very, very hard. But That's why God's love.
Yeah. Would to God that all the stories would end that way, you know, with forgiveness. It did have a beautiful ending, but leading up to that, there was a lot of tension between the brothers and the family. Jealousy destroys relationships. It's described as a rotten bone. It is often compared to murder. Why do you think jealousy is compared to murder? In James chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. Why do you think, there's someone on the chat.
Says when we're jealous of someone, it prevents us from supporting them or helping them in the way that we should do in a loving relationship.
Mm. Great point.
My name's Elena. I actually have a question. Just like with pride, where is that line between this being good and bad, between being inspired by what somebody else has and wanting it versus not wanting them to have it? And I think for me, that's kind of the differentiator, because I can have those feelings of wanting and being sad that I don't have what somebody else has and let that drive. And so I guess the question is, where really biblically is that distinction?
Yeah, that line is, I'm trying to find it. I mean, that same question was asked in the Bible study when I taught this on Tuesday at the church that I pastor in the mornings. Where is that line? You know, because it could be a motivator. You know, I could be motivated by something you have or something that you've accomplished, and I am jealous in the sense that I want to achieve that. I don't want to take what you have, but I want to experience the same level of success. But that's a great question. Anyone else want to chime in? I know there's someone else on the chat.
Brian says jealousy is often confused with envy.
Okay.
Thank you, Brian. I was hoping we'd get to that. So to me, jealousy and envy is a little similar to pride and happiness. Jealousy includes envy. Pride can include happiness. So envy is most of the time satisfied. If you get that thing you want, you're envious of. Whereas jealousy can be satisfied if that person doesn't have it anymore.
Hmm. So like I said earlier, we're doing some working definitions. And that, if you go down on the little handout that I gave you, introduction, defining the deadly sin, the definition, I said envy is not just wanting what someone else has. That is greed or covetousness. Envy is sorrow at another's good or resentment of another's blessing. It's a sin of comparison. That's what I wrote down. Chris, you wanted to say something.
When I think of jealousy, I think of insecurity and fear. Fear of losing, like going back to the triplets, Nakai, fear of losing mom's love because, you know, Nella was getting it. So that fear, and that's where the jealousy comes into relationships a lot. It's like the fear of they're cheating or whatever. And the insecurity comes from if we're secure and we're strong, and especially in our faith, we won't be jealous of someone else. We will stand behind them and be proud of them, knowing that who we are.
Is that what was going on in me when I was jealous of my mom?
Yes. Yes.
I was afraid of losing my mom's love. So here's the question. Is there enough love to go around?
Sometimes.
Yeah. The other definition that I wrote down, Sean, for envy. Envy is the sorrow or resentment felt at another person's blessings, another person's talents, or another person's good fortune. And I wrote, unlike greed, which seeks to possess, envy often seeks to destroy. Any agreement or disagreement with that?
I replace that with jealousy. I think you're defining jealousy.
Hmm.
I think that's jealousy. I think envy's a little purer. That's just in my head.
Say more. Say more about it being pure.
So, like jealousy can be satisfied if the person I'm jealous of loses that thing. I like, oh, good, we're on the same level again. You're not better than me. I'm not jealous anymore. Like, if your wife cheats on you, you're jealous of her. It's not that you want her lover. That's not the point. You want her to not have that anymore. Where envy is, I want that. You can have it too, but I want it. That's how I feel.
I'm really wrestling with this. Okay. So what I'm wrestling with is the distinction between jealousy and envy.
Mm-hmm.
And then also going back to your question about where is the line, I guess, between when it moves into jealousy or envy as opposed to wanting what others have. And that could be a good thing. I see your marriage. You have a strong marriage. You've been together 50 years. I want that for myself. So that is envy, because I want to have that as well as you have it. So jealousy is what? I see your good marriage. So it's not about changing your own circumstance, it's about changing the circumstance of...
I think greed isn't really on that spectrum, because greed is, I already have enough and I want more. Envy, you might not have any of that and you want some of it.
Hmm. Kenya, someone on... this is getting Brian a lot of comments.
I'm loving this. Brian says, jealousy is the fear of something or someone that you believe belongs to you being taken away. Envy says, I want what another has and is willing to deprive the other in order to have it. That was his definition of jealousy and envy.
So when I say that it's jealousy is a sin of comparison, what do you hear? Because I wrote that down in my notes. Jealousy is a sin of comparison.
Conversation, I mean, topic, but the point is, anytime I'm trying to be jealous, I don't want to be, but we are human. But then I remember the 10th commandment of God, so don't be jealous about anything. So in this case, immediately I try to not to think about that, you know. It's difficult, but that is the commandment, 10th commandment. So that is going to cure quickly what is inside of us.
Mm. Philip? Is it on? We're having technical difficulty. Is there someone else on the chat that wrote something?
Yeah, Charlotte.
Charlotte? Not being grateful for what you have while coveting what others have, Charlotte wrote. Is that envy or jealousy? Charlotte? Does envy offer pleasure?
She said envy more likely.
Envy more likely, okay. Does envy offer pleasure or misery?
Misery.
Why?
Because I feel like you're focused on the negative.
We need your mic. Wait a second. Zoom, we asked the question, does envy offer pleasure or misery?
I think it offers more, it's negative. So since you're focusing on trying to do something to like sabotage, for example, that's why I feel like it's beyond the jealousy, because you're trying to create something. So you're focusing on the negative ill will of it to create a negative outcome. So that can cause yourself to put you in a bad space and make you feel miserable deep inside. So I think envy is actually worse, because it's causing effect to you and to the other person. While it's jealousy, it's more of an emotional, maybe balanced out, maybe sadness. Oh, I really want that, but I can't afford it or whatever, but maybe I'll afford it in a couple months, so you feel the jealousy. Whereas in envy, I feel like it's more malicious, more of premeditating something negative, more of a dark cloud over you, following you and trying to do like once.
Kenya, yes. Mike.
Envy. Failing. Like envy is like wanting to create a negative space for that person, but it's also going to bounce back and affect you. So I think your question was, how does envy affect, if it makes you miserable? And I believe it does.
Okay.
I think envy makes you miserable more than jealousy.
How would you respond to this statement? Jealousy is protective. I want to keep what's mine. Envy is destructive. I want to take what's yours. How would you respond to that statement?
Yeah, and just to go back to the last question, just to add on that, does it lead to misery or happiness? To me, it's a bit more complicated because like I can't always control if I feel envy or jealousy, but it could lead to short-term unhappiness. But if it motivates me to take action to remedy the situation and better myself somewhere down the road, you know, when I do see that I, you know, have achieved what I thought I didn't have, it could lead to satisfaction and happiness. Mm. Because to me, if I feel envy, I can't say I don't feel it. You know, I have to be honest with myself. And it's just what do I do with that feeling? Mm.
Lisa says, not to muddy the waters, but I'm reminded of the commandment telling us not to worship idols, because God said, I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God. He demands exclusive loyalty.
Mm. I'm one of 12 brothers and sisters. Yeah. And my mother was one of 20.
Oh, my gosh.
And her mother was the only child. I was going to tell that story in a sermon one day, and I think I have. But when I was about 15, my mother told me, "Look me in the eye." I had just done something bad, but anyway, so she looked me in the eye and she said, "You are going to do something great." And I said, "Oh wow!" So far. Years I felt great because my mother had told me that I was going to do something great. Mm. I did a couple of pretty good things. Bless you. But later, I don't know, 15, 20 years later, I found out that my mother had told all of us the same thing. It broke me down. I was quite upset, envious, jealous. I said, "You mean all y'all? I thought I was the only one."
That's classic. Lamb, that's classic.
All right, so I have a problem. Someone just reminded us that God says he's a jealous God. So if God experiences jealousy, why, and we're made in his image, why then is it a big deal all of a sudden for us to feel jealous? God himself feels jealous.
I think there's a question here at the end. If God is described as a jealous God, why is envy or jealousy a sin for us? Because it's a righteous jealousy. So God wants all of our love and our devotion. He's jealous for our love and our devotion. And that's a righteous jealousy.
But couldn't that be said of a child with their parent, that it's a righteous love? And they want all of that parent's affection, right? It's demanding all, or I'm not satisfied.
Especially the last child.
Yeah. I think that I don't know how to answer that, but I was also thinking about spouses, how a spouse is jealous for their spouse's devotion and love, that's a righteous jealousy.
Can we have righteous jealousy? Is that part of what you're asking, Lamb?
I started with the premise that all jealousy is not godly. And now I had not thought about God describing himself as a jealous God. And so for me, that has to mean that not all jealousy is ungodly, because jealousy is a godly trait. You know, so then again, where's the line?
Somebody here ought to be able to answer that.
Lisa.
Wait. I'm going to say, I'm one of the questioning believers. Go ahead.
Lisa said, I think that expecting loyalty from someone who say they love you is reasonable.
Oh. Hmm.
I agree.
In James, and we're going to get to this passage when we talk about lust. And in James, James writes this passage, I think it's the fourth chapter, and he says, why do we have wars among us? And they have, because we have the lust of our heart. Now, in this particular passage, and this is connecting to the question you're asking, lust doesn't have a negative connotation. It's the Greek word that's used there is desires. And what James wants to suggest is that we have desires that God gives us, and God gets jealous when we go to other sources other than God to have those desires fulfilled. And that's how James explains this thing about God being a jealous God. Because this, who said it, that God wants kind of all of our attention, you know, like the youngest child, Kenneth, wanted all of mom or all of dad's attention. So when we go to other sources to get those God-given desires fulfilled, then God becomes jealous because we're seeking out other sources than God. And I don't know that explains it for you or answers it for you, but the goal of our time together is to get us to think a little bit deeper on these subject matters and try to figure out, where do I land on this? How does this speak to me? How am I living or not living this out? So I'm going to, unless someone else wants to speak to Lamb's question, it's still on the table.
I'm just thinking through what you're talking about. And so if you're a kid and you feel that there are times when you're less loved than your siblings. That does happen. And it does happen in a marriage that you're not loved the way you should be loved. And so I don't think that those sentiments are bad. That's a normal thing to feel, and I think maybe justified. So I don't necessarily think jealousy, that's the feeling that stems from that, is necessarily sinful. It's maybe what you do with it. Because I'm thinking about times like where I may have felt like, oh, that wasn't cool, the way, you know, the prodigal son story, I experience that a lot because I'm the oldest, and I'm like probably the responsible one. and so I see, you know, sometimes I'm like, well, that's not fair. But I don't necessarily jump into burning with anger about it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you could call that jealousy. I don't think of myself as a jealous person, but I guess I might feel that way for a second, and then I'm sort of like, I don't jump into burning over it. I don't know if that's where the sin comes in. Not the feeling of wanting that, right? Wanting that love. Yeah. But sitting in it and stewing in it, and then things come from that.
I sat in it and I stewed in it. I made beef stew. I'm being honest here. And I compared. They say the jealousy is the sin of comparison. I compared how many baseball games my mom and dad went to opposed to how many tennis matches they came to. And it got so intense. This is true confession. It got so intense that I told my parents, and I'm not proud of this, if you don't come to my graduation from Yale, I'm never speaking to you again, because that was the litmus test for me for them to show they loved me. It was crazy. It was crazy. Jiro. Oh, sorry, someone else had the mic. Whoever has the mic, you speak and then pass it up, please.
I think one piece that was stated online that's really critical is a lack of gratitude for what we do have is possibly that line for the turn from inspiration or just desire to sin. Is that lack of awareness of the love that we're given, the love that we do have, the possessions, whatever it is. That seems like a really critical piece.
Jiro. Linda, go ahead. We'll just work it.
It's just a little weird story. A gazillion years ago, I was hanging out with an accountant friend. And he told me he was, you know, we were working for Ernst & Young, and he told me he was leaving. And I became green with envy and thought it should be me, not you. But it's why I left, and we became very good friends, and he left first and helped me out when it was my turn. So I still remember the envy, but because I acted on it, it turned out okay. So.
Jiro.
I forget who said it, but there's a quote that I really like. It's, comparison is the thief of joy.
Say it again.
Comparison is the thief of joy.
The thief of joy.
Another, I don't know where this comes from, but I learned it in meetings, but compare despair.
I love all of the feedback.
No, it's me. I was just going to add that, just thinking about your part when you're being jealous and you're sitting in that space of jealousy, it is dangerous because you often will project that internal feeling or emotion onto that person as if that's how they really feel about the situation, whatever you're jealous of. Like in your situation, you were saying, you thought your brother was, you know, this, that, or the other, and he was like talking good about you, and he's doing, you know, pumping you up. But all the while, you're sitting here in your own self thinking of, oh, I know he thinks he's better than me. I know he thinks he's got this and that, he's got that. You know, so it's a very dangerous place for us to sit because we build that lie that this is how they actually feel as well.
Yeah. I read a book by a really, I can't remember her name, but a really famous rabbi, and she said, the stories we tell ourselves. And there's this one chapter, it's just so prominent. She went over her in-law's house, parked her car, came, it happened to live in a not so good neighborhood, came out, the car in her mind was gone. So she formulated this whole story of the gangbangers that came and stole the car and stripped the car, and now that car is being piecemeal across the city. 6 hours later, she had parked the car on the other side of the apartment building. The stories we tell ourselves. I'm a good storyteller. I'm pretty convincing, too. What about you? What about the stories you tell yourself? I wrote in my notes, core feelings of fear of losing what you have, longing for what you lack, focus, protection on valued objects that you possess. These are just some of the things that I wrote down.
And there's a couple of things. Natalie liked to say, I think you need to decide if you're jealous of what they have or jealous of the actual person, which makes a big difference. Mm. Mm-hmm. And Don and Cindy say, in defining God in human terms, we limit God. God being a jealous God could be understood as God wanting to be in complete relationship with us. It's a human way for us to attempt to understand God.
Okay. Did I write the questions at the end that can there be such a thing as healthy jealousy? Can there? I mean, I think we started with that question, right? Can there be, Elena, didn't you raise that question initially? Can there be such a thing as healthy jealousy? If so, how? Is that the line that we're trying, Lamb? We need the mic, please.
It's what you do with it that matters, because things like jealousy and other ones of those sins, first of all, I think it's an opportunity to come to God with the problem and help him, you know, allow him to work through it rather than do it on your own. Because a lot of these things which could be negative, you know, things such as pain are opportunities to go to him, and his solution's always better than something that you could do on your own. So I think that's an opportunity. And also just a motivation to look within yourself and better yourself. Mm. And just say, it's not about that person, it's about me. You know, what can I do? Because you can't really control what someone else does, but you have control over what you do. So I think you can turn it into a positive. So I think it can lead to better things.
Ruben?
I guess to add to that, for example, I can give a personal, I had a lot of jealousy in my life growing up. I've always been, you know, a big guy. I got to 600 pounds. So my whole life, I was always jealous and maybe envious of the people around me who were thinner and slimmer and were able to go to the store and buy whatever clothing they want. And I had to do online or go to those special stores that are just for big people, you know? So that jealousy in my life brought me to work on myself and to pray and get closer to God and pray and like, I need help. I can't do this alone. And finally, he answered my prayers and with myself. And so I believe, as to answer your question, is that I guess jealousy does become beneficial. And I think I'm a prime example of that, because I was very jealous. And that jealousy made me wake up and like do something about it and fight towards it. So I guess that could be, if it's called a righteous jealousy or something. Mm-hmm.
Anyone on Zoom? Father Philip?
Natalie first said, yes, it could help you aspire to what you want, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, I can certainly see it in sports. Kobe pushed himself to be as good or better than Jordan. I mean, so I can see, I mean, that may or may not be envy, or may not start out. It may not start out as envy, but it may end up that way. But, you know, so you can, in the sports world, I think you see some kind of that kind of stuff all the time.
Oh. All right, the MJ Kobe thing aside. Yes. Now, I think jealousy, envy can have a propelling, I think it was mentioned back here, self-improvement element. In high school, I formed a band with some friends, and the guitarist was phenomenal. He's phenomenal to this day. And I remember feeling jealousy, envy, whatever it was, but I worked hard because I was playing with him. One of the great joys of my life, some years ago, we're playing, and he goes, "Dang, Sean." Like, that's all I needed. I was so happy, I can't tell you.
And one thing, you know, I'm a big Kobe fan, but the one thing to add to that, that's my whole point, that's all I wanted to say. But yeah, the one of the things, I used to play competitive beach volleyball, and early on, it was probably one of the best pieces of advice someone gave, because I'd always say, "Wow, look at that arm swing, you know, look at the way he snaps the ball, look at his quickness." And my partner at the time, he was like, pulled me aside, and he was like, "Len, you know, if you see someone that someone else has, make it your own. It's like what one person can do, another one can do." So, and it's the same way, and I never thought it that way. So to be able to say, you know, it's like, you know, like what Sean was saying too, it's just what one person can do, see if you can do that. Because it's like, you know, it's like you can just say, "I can do that," and work towards it.
Yeah. Aisha?
I think you said something like, is there any way to shift it? And going back to that thing about the story, right? That's sort of a technique to sort of shift your patterns, is to literally write down the story, like your story about the story you have about your brother, you had about your brother, and literally rewrite it, you know. And they say, you know, it's never too late to have a happy childhood. And it's literally going back and just rewriting that's literally writing it down, and telling yourself, yeah, there's a different way to look at this. But I was also just going to say, like, I mean, I'm in this church and seeing the people singing and drumming and playing piano after a couple months, after I played for 15 or something. you know, it's like, I mean, you want to talk about, like, I have a little bit of envy every week. But then I'm also like, you know, I can never aspire to be like that. You know, so it's not like it's going to inspire me. Oh, yeah, I'm going to sing like Dee Dee. Ha ha. But I can also, I can feel that and admire it and then let that go and just be happy for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I definitely have those moments where I'm like, that'd be nice.
Don and Cindy say, "I'd submit that. Like, anger, jealousy is not in and of itself bad, but what we do with it and how it affects us and the others involved."
Yeah. So we're running a little long, but it's been such good conversation. Here's the last thought. Someone mentioned it, and this is, I just wrote down gratitude on my notes. How does gratitude factor in when jealousy tries to dominate in our lives?
What's for you is for you. We'll have
to grab that mic. Yeah. But also, it's like in terms of jealousy, we tend to just look at, you know, what someone else has when everyone's been given things from God, and we should all be grateful for what we've been given. And each person's given a very individual set of gifts, unlike anyone else, and just to be grateful for what we're given. And to be grateful, you know, to be gratitude, you get back more of that.
I can't believe it. It seems like you're saying there's enough to go around. Is that true? Is there enough to go around? Lamb, did you have your hand? Oh, and then Dee Dee?
Oh, I just said what's for you is for you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we all, I agree, we all have gifts. But I think to keep things in perspective, you know, or actually to admire someone else is probably the better perspective to look at our gifts, you know. What's for you is for you, and if it happens for you, it's for you. If it happens for me, it's for me. So
there's a gospel song, and it says, God's got a blessing with your name on it. And if it's got your name on it, it ain't for me. Lamb.
So one thing that came up for me about gratitude is not necessarily just gratitude for what you already have, but gratitude for the circumstances that you're in, which can create opportunity for you to have something else, right? Because what I was struck by is that people that didn't fall into that sadness are like, oh, well, I could go work for that if that's what I wanted. So it's like, well, but first you, or I'm thinking about how different it would be if it's like, wow, I'm grateful that I even have the physical body to pursue playing basketball so that I could have that. Or I'm grateful that I have the kind of wisdom and kind of capacity to learn that I could even be competitive in an Ivy League school. Not everybody has that. And then as you start to be grateful for what you have, then you start to shift and realize how many other people might be jealous of you because they don't necessarily have that. So it kind of like balances things out instead of it's like, oh, I don't have, they have. It's like, wow, there's so much that I have that even just creates the opportunity for me to have more than what I have now. And there are lots of people who don't have that, you know? Charlotte says, if it's for you, it won't miss you.
If it's for you, it won't miss you.
And I think it's very important also to do like missionary work and stuff like that outside international borders. Like when I was younger, I would go to Mexico, orphanages and stuff like that. So when you get to see those type of things, then you really feel gratitude and thankful for what you have, and you don't have to worry so much about your close surroundings from your hometown. All you got to do is hop over the border and see all the stuff that's going on, and you'll be thankful for whatever you got here. And then you feel 100 again.
That's confirmation now. I am organizing a mission trip to Jamaica next year. Bethel Encino Lutheran Church is going to Jamaica on a mission trip next year. I've been talking about this all week long to someone. And I was at the pickleball court and I said to the, they're making them permanent courts. So the temporary nets, I said, what are you going to do with those nets? They said, we don't know. I said, let me have all the nets. I'm going to take them on a mission trip to Jamaica. They said, you will? I said, yes. And they said, here. Mission trip, Jamaica, 2027.
Good.
Linda.
You know, you can go to... You can always want more. Mm. You can always want more. And it's a hamster wheel.
Mm.
And for me, it's Sundays like this I need as, because when you're in the midst of the storm sometimes, you can't see the gratitude.
Mm.
So you need reminders like this right here. So thank you.
So we're going to close with this. I want you to think of one thing you're grateful for. And on three, just name it. One, two, three. Health. Amen.